Greetings and welcome to the General Conference Seminar Series. My name is Joel Urshan. I'm the senior pastor at the Tree of Life Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's a true joy to be with you as a part of these series of seminars. My topic is the fruit of the Spirit. And that's a very important topic to me, and I believe that it's a very important topic in the Word of the Lord. And I'm excited to be able to share with you about it today. It's something that the Lord makes very certain that we understand how serious He is about the bearing of fruit. John chapter 15 helps us to understand that. The Lord says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." The Lord is serious about the bearing of fruit. He explains that every branch that abideth in him, and he and his words abide in them, then they are to be fruitful. This is very important, that the branch be fruitful. If it is not fruitful, it is taken away. It is cast into the fire and burned. Even if it is fruitful, he will purge it, that it will bring forth more fruit. This is one of the very early commands that God gave to Adam and Eve. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, we all want to multiply. That's part of the Great Commission, to multiply. He said to preach the gospel to every creature. We know that in the book of Acts, the believers multiplied. The church, as it grew, there was multiplication that took place. But the Lord tells us the order in which that multiplication will come. First, there must be fruitfulness. And the fruit that we're talking about today, of course, is the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the fruit that the Lord wants us to bring forth, the fruit of the Spirit. I think there may be some misperceptions about the fruit of the Spirit that we may have developed in our thinking over the years, that they are good qualities, nice personality traits, good things to try to attain, goals to achieve. The Scripture tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. This is what it says: that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are words that describe to us what is the fruit of the Spirit. These things will be in us and abound in us, and that is when we're fruitful. When this fruit of the Spirit is flowing in our lives and multiplying in our lives, this is something that can happen only by the way of the Holy Ghost. When we look at them as just good personality traits, we have this misperception that somehow we can, through our own willpower or through our own efforts, achieve this fruitfulness or this fruit of the Spirit. But these are not fruits of your flesh. This is not a fruit of your discipline or your intellect. No, this is a fruit of the Spirit. And these are qualities that will come from your interaction with, your abiding in, and you allowing God to abide in you. These are things that will happen through the way of the Spirit. So let's dive into it a little bit and understand it a little bit better. The Lord gives us natural fruit so that we can understand how spiritual fruit operates. That natural fruit helps us to see the things that are invisible. He said the things that are invisible are clearly seen by the things which are made. And the fruit that we have in nature helps us to understand how the fruit of the Spirit operate. One of the things that you understand about the fruit of nature, whether it be an orange or an apricot or an apple or a pear or a pineapple, These are natural fruits, but in them is contained the seed. That seed is what causes them to grow. And they contain the seed in them. That's what constitutes fruit. You know what a fruit is by the fact that it contains seed. So somebody might think of a tomato as a vegetable, but I hate to break it to you. Tomato is a fruit because it contains seed. Even a cucumber is a fruit because it contains seed. Okra is a fruit because it contains seed. When there is a seed inside of it, that is what allows us to understand what is fruit. That is the same concerning the fruit of the Spirit. The seed is inside the fruit, and the fruit came from the seed. Jesus told us in his parables that the seed in his parables, the seed is the Word of God. That's where the fruit of the Spirit comes from. It comes from the Word of God. I'll give you an example. The Scripture teaches us that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And it tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what is the origin of faith? The Word of God. Why? Because faith is a fruit, and the Word of God is the seed. When the seed is placed into the heart of a man or a woman, it will allow the fruit of the Spirit to begin to grow. So the process goes like this. We hear the Word preached. We hear the Word taught. We study the Word. We read the Word. We memorize the Word. We plant it in our hearts. That interaction with the Word of God allows the seed to be placed into us. Then we water the seed with prayer, and we expose the seed to the sunshine, just like you would in nature. And that sunshine in the Spirit is the presence of God. It's His surrounding glory. And when you have a prayer life, a life devoted to prayer, and a life devoted to being in the presence of God, it's going to begin to move upon that seed that is the Word of God that you've planted in your heart. And the natural process is that the fruit begins to grow. That's how the fruit of the Spirit grows. And it's not by you just deciding, oh, I'm going to be nicer than I've ever been because I need to have the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't come by you making up in your mind that you're going to somehow flip a switch and start loving more or being more meek or being more gentle or being good. No, it's not by your nature. It's not by your willpower. It's when you let the Word of God get in you, and then you expose that Word of God to His presence and to prayer. It will begin to awaken that seed that has you've put inside of yourself, and it will begin to grow. That's why the Scripture tells us to break up the fallow ground. That is an agricultural term. It means to prepare the soil. Prepare the soil for what? For the seed. Prepare the soil. In the parable of the sower went forth to sow, and there was some ground that could receive the seed that the sower sowed, and there was some ground that could not receive it. There was good ground that received the seed. The other ground was complicated by thorns and shallowness and being by the wayside. But the solution, there's a solution to that. Break up that fallow ground. Get rid of those thorns. And create depth in the earth, and make sure that there's plenty of room to grow. That's what repentance does. That's what cleaning out your heart and your mind and preparing yourself to receive the Word of the Lord. That's what that does for you. It breaks up the fallow ground of your heart and your soul and your mind. And then the seed can be planted into your spirit. And what happens? The seed begins to take root, and that root begins to grow as a fruit of the Spirit. The book of Ephesians describes that we are to be rooted and grounded in love. Again, this is an agricultural term, and love is a fruit of the Spirit. We are to be rooted, and we are to be grounded in love. That's that seed going down into your heart. And the Word of God, which is that seed, will begin to take root as that seed is exposed to the elements, the rain, the sunshine. So yes, the sunshine of his presence. But there will also be, in addition to the sunshine of his presence, there will be adversarial elements to be a part of this process. I mentioned rain just a moment ago. Even lightning and all of the elements involved with bringing forth vegetation from the earth. We don't like the storms of life, but the storms of life are just as important as the sunshine of his presence to bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit from our lives. And so when you're going through a challenging time, understand that if you will stay immersed in his presence while you're going through those storms of life, then there will be fruit to come from it. This is why people, maybe even people you know who are gentle, who are able to suffer long and are patient, who are meek and kind, people who have great faith in God, you can point to storms that they have weathered in their walk with God. And that storm was just as important to their fruitfulness as was the sunshine of God's presence. And so you can try all you want to be more loving, but you can't force the growth of fruit. It has to be the miracle working power of God's Spirit, and it is a miracle. Never let anybody tell you that they've never seen a miracle. If they've walked outside and are able to see trees growing from the ground, that's a miracle, ladies and gentlemen. That's a miracle. What goes on under that ground? What happened? That seed goes down into the soil and it begins to take root, and then it shoots up from the ground and over time is strengthened as this mighty tree that lives for so many years, in many cases centuries, that trees will live. What is that? That's a miracle. And that's the way the fruit of the Spirit operates. The seed will get into your heart. You expose it to the sunlight of his presence. You endure the storms of life. And you, without even trying a lot of times, it's just going to grow. And you spend some time in prayer. You spend some time in worship, some time in the word of the Lord. You'll come out of that experience with more love and with more faith and with more peace. If you've tried it, you know that what I'm telling you is the truth. You will have more love and more faith and more peace by being in the presence of God and by exposing that seed that is in your heart to those elements. And so it's very important that we understand this can't be done by our human willpower, but it can be done by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that is the only way that it can be done. Some of the fruit that we like in this in the natural sense, maybe an orange, so refreshing, a pear, or an apple. The apple a day keeps the doctor away. What do they mean by that? They mean that the apple is so full of antioxidants that the doctor is less needed, because the fruit is putting into your system the kinds of nutrients that you need to fight off bacteria, to fight off the viruses that kind of float in the air. This is a natural thing that has strong spiritual parallelism. And I want to explain that to you. There are spiritual viruses that float in our world today, that's in our atmosphere. And you come in contact with it, and you know what I'm talking about, because you engage and encounter it throughout your living and going about a day's business. But the fruit of the Spirit is going to give you the power to overcome the things that you encounter that are of a sinful nature. Galatians 5 doesn't just tell us about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 also tells us about the works of the flesh. And it says that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, wrath and malice and hatred, variance, emulations, strife, seditions, heresies. These are all works of the flesh. How do you overcome those kinds of works of the flesh? Well, I'll tell you how you don't do it. You don't overcome the works of the flesh by trying to develop better intentioned works of the flesh. You can try all you want to overcome those works of the flesh, but you won't be successful in overcoming them through your natural willpower. Now, you might be able to overcome a sinful behavior through your natural willpower. That's possible, that you can overcome a sinful behavior through discipline and through good decisions and through practicing the power of your will. But you cannot overcome a sinful nature through the power of your will or through your disciplines. No. If you think that it is through your power that you overcome sinful nature, you might overcome a behavior of sin, but you will not have overcome the nature of that sin. You will have only shifted it to a different type of sin. Let me give you an example. If you believe that it's through your power that you've overcome the sinful nature of your life, then even in overcoming the behavior of the sin you targeted to overcome, you will have now entered into a sin of pride, because you will have taken credit for overcoming a sinful nature that you have no power over in your human flesh. And that pride is a sin of its own. This is why, if you think that you overcame the sinful nature, that you feel maybe justified in looking down your nose at someone who isn't overcoming in the same way that you overcame, isn't resisting and walking away from in the same way that you resisted and walked away. You have a tendency maybe to look down at those, thinking that they should be able to do what you did. But when you understand that it is not by your might, and it is not by your power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord, saith the Lord, when you understand that, you don't look down your nose at anybody, because you understand that, but by the grace of God, there go you and I. We have no ability in and of ourselves to overcome the works of the flesh. What overcomes the works of the flesh is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. When it's the fruit of the Spirit that overcomes the works of the flesh, the sinful behavior is not allocated or reallocated to the sin of pride or to the sin of haughtiness. No. When the fruit of the Spirit overcomes the sinful behavior, it is truly overcome because it is the sinful nature that is overcome. When you and I understand that it is through repentance and baptism in Jesus' name that our sins are washed away, and that it is through the infilling of the Holy Ghost that He gives us power to live above that sin. And that is the quickening Spirit that will raise up this mortal body unto everlasting life. When you and I understand that, then, ladies and gentlemen, we're able to encourage others, regardless of their sin, that they can overcome by the power of the blood and through the keeping power of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not your willpower that overcomes adultery. It's love, the love of God. And it's that love of God that gives you the love for your spouse. And you're able to overcome the sins of adultery and fornication through the love of God. It's not your brilliant intellect that gives you power over heresy, which is a work of the flesh. No, it's faith in Jesus Christ that gives you power over deceptive heresies. It's not your easygoing nature that gives you power over strife and wrath. No, it's gentleness and peace that comes from God. Now, there is an earthly counterfeit to each one of these qualities listed among the fruit of the Spirit. And the earthly counterfeit will make you think you have that fruit when, in fact, you've got a fleshly version of it. You got to be careful with that, because you don't want the fruit of your flesh. You want the fruit of the Spirit. The love of God will give you power over sin. The love of God will give you power to overcome sin. But the love of this world will make you feel like you should love, but you'll end up loving things you shouldn't love. And you'll end up loving in a way that is permissive and lenient concerning things God told you to abstain from and to resist and to flee. And so it's important that you get the real thing. You don't want this to grow by your own abilities. The Bible describes people who want peace. In fact, they cry peace. They cry peace, peace. But it's not the fruit of the Spirit peace. It's the peace of this world. And Jesus made a distinction. He said, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, but I give to you my peace. And his is a perfect peace. The scripture says that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So you want the peace that is the fruit of the Spirit, and not the peace that is the counterfeit in our world. Same goes for love. Same goes for faith. Same goes for meekness. The meekness of God is not weakness. In fact, it makes you stronger than ever because your strength relies completely in him. So you want the real thing, not the fake, not the counterfeit. There's always going to be a counterfeit. There's a counterfeit pleasure versus God's pleasure, which is the real thing. And don't mistakenly think that God doesn't want you to have pleasure. He does. He put Adam and Eve in a garden called Eden, which means pleasure. God's original design for man, and that means for us, is to have pleasure, but it's real pleasure. Not the pleasures of sin that only last for a season, but in his presence, there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's the kind of pleasure that he wants to give you, and that's the kind of fruit that he wants to give you. Fruit filled with antioxidants that will give you the ability to overcome the wicked one. The fruit that is a lemon. We understand the fruit lemon to be sour, so sour that it's hardly tolerable. Now some, a very small number here listening, may think of a lemon and think, yeah, I enjoy lemon. Maybe you enjoy it drizzled over a salad or drizzled into iced tea. That's normally how we will have lemon, but rarely do people just peel it and bite into it. And so that's kind of like the fruit that is called long-suffering. Long-suffering is just that. It's long-suffering. If it's in the Hebrew, it's long-suffering. In the Greek, it's long-suffering. In English, it's long-suffering. It's long-suffering. You might even be able to put a few extra O's in there. Long-suffering. It's an indefinite period of time of suffering. And I call it the lemon of the fruit of the Spirit. Is if love is the apple and faith is the a pear and joy is the pineapple, then lemon is the long suffering. And it's not something you just go peel and bite into. You don't want long suffering. You don't ask for it. It's not something you can hardly tolerate, but it's needed. And you know that the scripture says that suffering is something that gives you fellowship with him. He describes the fellowship of his sufferings. And fellowship with him is unlike anything else in this world. When you come out of that experience, when you've allowed it to be something that draws you closer to God, in fact, I'll say it like this. Some of you may be going through loneliness right now, experiencing loneliness. God wants to turn your loneliness into solitude. Don't just be alone. Be alone with God. Let him turn your loneliness into solitude. Let the suffering become something that works together for the good. And it's so important that we understand that. A lemon, in the natural sense, is a superfruit. That's what they call it, a superfruit. It is full of antioxidants. It neutralizes so many different bacteria and viruses. And that's the way long-suffering works. Long-suffering is lethal to so many works of the flesh. People who go through suffering and trust in the Lord while they do it, and they spend time in his presence while they're suffering, and they let that fruit grow, it will give them victory over so many works of the flesh. That hatred just starts melting away. Pride begins to diminish. All of the things that are a part of our life, we tend to lose them when we suffer for a long period of time. What's happening there? Fruit is growing. And if you come out of that experience having put your faith in God, when you do, you're going to be more gentle. You're going to be more loving. You're going to have more faith because you've walked through valleys you didn't even know existed, and you came out all right, trusting in the Lord, hoping in His Word. And you're going to have something to give people that maybe you didn't have before the trial started. We don't like going through the things we go through in life. And we don't ever have to, we don't ever want to go through some of the things we had to go through already. But I guarantee you this, you won't want to trade who you are for who you were before the trial started. Who you are when God finishes bringing that perfecting work of patience in your life is a person that only His Spirit can produce. It's fruit. There's a sweetness that comes to your life that can only be accomplished through the work of the Spirit. I encourage you today, abide in Him. Do you know that's really what happens when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, into His precious name? We're being baptized into Him. He said, abide in me. That's what happens when we repent of our sins and abide in Him and are baptized in Him. We're abiding in Him. And when we pray and we stay in His presence, walk with Him, that's abiding in Him. Then He fills us with His Spirit. That's Him abiding in us. And He said, if you'll allow me to be in you, and if you will be in me, that's a fruitful relationship. That's how the fruit of the Spirit can truly multiply in your life. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And I know that the Lord will be with you as you go. And I pray that the fruit of the Spirit will abound in you as you let the seed that is the Word of God take root in your soul, and you allow the sunlight of His presence and even the storms of life to accomplish what God would intend to be accomplished in your life. The Lord will be with you. God bless you in Jesus' name.